always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Let's go.
Intel again. Get rid of Bron Reeves, Rui Laravia, Bronny Jr., Vando, Dalton, and Kleba, etc. Sick of this trash. And then, you know, you follow that up with, I want a new GM and Rob gone this summer, plus the Bus family exit. Kurt and Linda gone too. New thinking in there. So as far as the roster goes, and I've seen a lot of, like, you know, Intel again, please get rid of Rob and Jeannie. Let's see. There was another one here that I'm missing. Yeah, so Intel again, we need 5 to 6 guys gone this season. So, like, on that front, I agree. Like, you know, they do need to basically, like, wipe the slate clean, try to enter next season with a pretty much rebuilt roster. And that appears to be the plan. Like, if they go into next season with anything close to this current roster, I think at that point, Lakers leadership, meaning Jeannie's boss now, Mark Walter, he would then have a reason to be like, sorry, guys, since I've been here, you acquired Luka, lost in the first round, had a offseason and a trade deadline to address some of the issues that led to you being booted in the first round, didn't do that, probably lost in the first round again, and then in the following summer, didn't do enough to improve your roster there. And I think at that point, given the amount of pressure that would be placed on the Lakers, given the amount of pressure that would be placed on like from a fan base that can get really loud. Here's how loud the Lakers fan base can get. Do you guys remember back when Sportsnet, Spectrum Sportsnet was first a thing, how they had a legitimate, there was going to be a blackout situation with DirecTV. And there were so many Lakers fans throughout the Southland, throughout California, that eventually there was enough pressure placed on DirecTV because people were canceling their DirecTV subscriptions and going to Spectrum to get the Lakers channel, that DirecTV bowed to that pressure. So we know that when the Lakers fan base gets angry, and I'm not talking about like that ridiculous protest that was outside Staples Center. No, we're talking about the Lakers just raised prices again, right? There are some people who I've seen, you know, saying how their ticket prices were up like 100% plus heading into next season. And the Lakers even released a statement because of the amount of noise that was coming from raising their prices. And they were talking about, you know, from a straight business standpoint, it's the right decision to make. So we know that this new ownership can hear Lakers fan base when they get upset. We know that when this Lakers fan base gets super upset, that it can make even the staunchest companies kind of bow down to some of that pressure. And so, like, if this offseason doesn't go the way that we think it should, meaning you have Luka Doncic in his prime, and you don't go into next season having filled 3 legitimate starting holes after letting LeBron walk, probably. At that point, Lakers fan base gets riled up enough. I think at that point, the new ownership, Mark Walter, somebody who, again, as I said to Andy Kamenetsky, is on the record saying, yeah, probably took a little too long in getting his people in there. And like by his people, he means like Stan Kasten. He doesn't mean Jeannie Buss sitting there as long, you know, I don't think he considers Jeannie Buss his people. He means his people, the best people that he can put into positions of power within the Lakers. Like, he waited a little too long on Ned Colletti, and I don't think he wants to make that mistake again here on Rob Pelinka. And so Rob is going to have to replace 5 to 6 guys. He's going to have to build a legitimate championship contender next year. And if not, then we're looking at overhaul, which unfortunately means potentially another wasted season.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Really quickly, before I get back into the questions and the supers, that last point, potentially wasting a season because you empowered Rob for this upcoming offseason. Again, as I said to Andy at the end of that conversation there, Rob is tasked with potentially, if LeBron isn't a Laker next year, you have to fill 3 starting spots. Oops, shoot. Didn't mean to do that. It's come on, back up. That is way too close on his face. I do not have a face for that kind of deal. But all right, so the Lakers would have to replace 3 starting spots. They would have to fill out their bench. I still think they need to revamp the coaching staff. Rob Pelinka is talking about leading the charge on filling out and modernizing the organization. All of that is going to fall on the shoulders of a guy who none of us is actually all that confident that he can pull any of that off. That doesn't scare anybody. Like, it's crazy how many times I haven't spoken to a single person who's like, yeah, yeah, Rob's got this. Nobody. And it's like, all right, if nobody is confident that Rob has this, then why is this the plan? Why is this how you're introducing yourself to the Lakers fan base? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's see. We'll go back up here. And Justin Tindall, 4737. Pelinka's GM since 2015, VP since 2020. What's he done? Braun was always come here. Braun brought AD, did nothing to get Luka. What's he done in almost a decade? It's like I said a second ago. Like, even if we don't go that far, right? Because I do think Rob deserves some credit for some of those things, especially the AD one, because those two organizations, like, it took Dell Demps getting fired and it took Magic Johnson getting fired to get the Lakers and the Pelicans actually having conversations again. Those initial trade negotiations were a disaster. I had somebody in my mentions earlier today saying how, like, Magic deserves credit for Anthony Davis. Abso-fucking-lutely not. And Magic Johnson doesn't deserve any credit for anything that took place while he was there. He was never there. I think Rob, in the interest of fairness, does deserve some credit for Anthony Davis eventually becoming a Laker. Although I will grant that Clutch played a huge part in AD's interest in becoming a Laker in the first place. So it's some combination thereof, but I do think that Rob deserves some credit there. Now, as far as like everything that has taken place since, I think Rob deserves some credit for keeping the trade talks with the Mavericks as quiet as they were, because if any word had gotten out that Luka Doncic was on the market, the Mavericks could have possibly heard what else was potentially on the table from some of these other teams. And Luka isn't a Laker right now. So, like, I think Rob deserves some credit for that. Outside of that, though, spinning the tires the way that he did at the end of the LeBron AD era, and the impact that had on the beginning of the Luka era, and continuing to spin those tires, you know, in the transaction window since, and now heading into a second postseason with a roster that nobody actually believes in, unless, like, it all basically comes down to this upcoming summer. And as I said a second ago, not a single person I've spoken to is like, yep, Rob's got this. So it's just the math isn't mathing in my head. And so, like, I completely understand where fans are coming from and frankly share the opinion that, like, how does anybody think this is, like, all of this is a good idea? I see people, like, complaining about my eyes. Here's the thing. One, it is 1:46 in the morning, my time. Two, as I'm talking here, I have to keep an eye on the live chat to make sure that nobody is saying anything at, like, too out of hand. Three, I'm monitoring over here the comments coming out of the game, because apparently Luka was, you know, he and LeBron are talking about the miscommunication on the last play, which is certainly interesting. I also have ADD, so occasionally I am going to kind of look around the room as I'm talking, because I'm not very comfortable just staring this way the whole time. But, like, this is a weird complaint to have this late into a show. But all right, the next question I have here is from Intel. In your guys' opinion, what do we have to do to change next season? I want an identity going forward. Actually, I think Andy and I hit on this quite a bit, especially at the opening of that conversation. Look, culture is set from on high, right? Like, think of religion. You pray up, right? Like, all religions pray to a higher power. And that higher power, in some way, shape, or another, you know, sends out how, like, everybody in that religion is supposed to act, and that culture falls from there, right? And to me, this is where Mark Walter plays a role in this. But very importantly, I think this is where Rob Pelinka plays an important role in this. The culture is set up here. What style of basketball is it that Rob Pelinka believes in? You know, and like, if Rob doesn't have any North Star from a basketball standpoint, then nobody has any North Star from a basketball standpoint. Like, this is, like, honestly, I'm going to scroll down to the bottom here because I think this is an important point. Karuka's teeth, right? Like, you say 2013, and I don't know if you mean this on purpose, but 2013 is when Dr. Buss got sick and was no longer kind of the central figure who set the culture and set the expectations with the Lakers. Ever since then, it's been like, what would Daddy think here? It's never been like, ever since Dr. Buss died, or ever since Dr. Buss first got sick, it's been like, what would Dad want here? Or what would this, like, what would this, and what, who would want this? And it's never been with the people who have been running the organization. It hasn't been, what do I believe in? What do I, Jim Buss, believe in? What do I, Jeannie Buss, believe in? It's always been because of the nepotism, like, and this is how nepotism ends dynasties. The kids start behaving on behalf of the parental figure and not through their own vision. And now sometimes their own vision is also flawed, which also cripples dynasties. But in this case, the Lakers are so, like, I saw somebody making the point earlier in the chat about how, like, get somebody there who doesn't pray at the altar of Kobe. Look, I love Kobe as much as the next person. But the number of times that, like, you know, how much some prospect loves Kobe seems to matter to these people as part of, like, the legitimate draft process, drives me nuts. The fact that like the bonuses that were dealt out were 8 and 24 out of respect to Kobe's numbers. Like, move on. What do you believe in? Rob Pelinka, what do you believe in? Do you believe in a heliocentric offense? Do you believe in switching defenses? Do you believe in zone? Do you believe, what is it that you, Rob Pelinka, from a basketball standpoint, believe in? Until we arrive at, or get any clarity on that front, we're just going to sit here and watch underperforming rosters, because the only thing that he actually seems to believe in is like, give me stars. Give me stars. It doesn't matter. Like, just give me stars. And you know, acquiring stars or the pursuit of stars is the clearest path to his continued employment. But like, once you get those stars, because you don't actually have a vision for how that system should play out while you have those stars, it just means that like nobody seems to understand what you're actually trying to accomplish. So here we stand. You know, I'm going to go back to the questions. Oh, man. Whew. Man, we have a lot of them. We will go back to... Haven't felt... This is from Detective Bluto Mind Pretzel 23. Haven't felt great after a Laker game since November. Don't see the Lakers winning a playoff game. Can't wait for Rob to draft another combo guard in the draft. That last one got me. I, hey, look, like who, what type of player did Rob acquire at the deadline? Luke Kennard, like a 6'3", 6'4", shooting guard with a little handle, bucket, and Kobe Bufkin, combo guard. So, all right, I apologize. Everything I just said in the last segment was a lie. We know what Rob believes in. And it's those, like, Mexican or Filipino, like, 5'7 and under leagues playing on, like, a 9-foot rim. Like, that's the type of basketball Rob Pelinka wants to pull up and watch at all times. let's see. We will go. Let's see. Actually, I think this next one. All right, Justin with a good comment here. Don't blame Rob. I blame Genie. How can an agent be able to identify basketball talent? Genie just wanted to give jobs to friends over running the Lakers. Yeah, like that goes back to the comment about, you know, the Lakers being kind of rudderless since 2013. Like, here's a conversation I've had with Lakers sources a few times over. And it's that, and especially people who like leave the organization, and what they all say is at the upper level, talking Genie and her group of friends, what matters to Genie a lot more, and actually, and I don't know if it was on or off team, I'm not going to go there. But like what I hear from people who work for the Lakers and then eventually leave the Lakers is like what matters a lot more to Genie and to Linda and to Kurt and previously to Tim. And then Rob just kind of like folds himself into this culture because, again, his job is to remain employed. But like what Genie values above all else is kumbaya. Right. Like, let's all agree. Let's all like the people that Genie Bus eventually kicks out of the organization. Right. And then, you know, shits on after the fact. Jerry West. Jesse and Joey. Jerry's son. Ryan West. Sorry. Frank Vogel, who disagreed adamantly with the decision to keep Talon over Alex Caruso and to trade for Russell Westbrook. Like all of the people that like departed the organization or have departed the organization in one way or another, they have tended to be the people who are like, hey, I don't think this is a very good idea. and speaking up, you know, and making that known. Even Pete, right? Pete has talked about the times where he's been like, I would do it. Pete, no longer there. So like, when the edict from on high is, hey, we're all just here to get along. I'm sorry, you're not going to be very productive. Friction is important. Without friction, you don't get fire, right? Like without pressure, you don't get diamonds. I always go back to, you know, over the course of my career, Harrison, who you guys see on the show every week, he and I built Silver Screen and Roll together. He and I built Locked On Lakers together. And it wasn't always great. Like it was like he and I butted heads plenty. Ask him about Google Docs, you know, like, and my disdain for them. He and I had constant battles over like headlining and SEO and those stuff. And there were moments where he was right. There were moments where I was right. But like at the end of the day, those conversations, while they were at times contentious, while we didn't always disagree, they were always with a purpose. Our goal was to build Silver Screen and Roll. Our goal was to build Locked On Lakers. Our goal was to build out our careers together. And you arrive at, you know, however long he and I have been friends together now, about 11, 12, maybe 13 years now. And you know, he has climbed real high in the SB Nation box world. For whatever reason, I continue to chart a path and navigate it the way that I have. And like those times that he and I argued and like it was knockdown dragouts occasionally. And yet, like, I still love that dude like a brother. And I think that he would probably say the same thing. So when I hear about how the Lakers are run, it kind of frustrates me, because it's like, if you can't have a disagreement or not have some productive conversation as a result of that disagreement, then you're not an adult. You're just a fail son or a fail daughter. And guess what? We have been here a long time. All right, that is, So Paul QT20K, who is your number one GM target if Pelinka is let go? Well, it has to be Sam Presti. I mean, like, think of everything that in a year where they are on their way to potentially winning a second straight championship. Stan Presti was able to fleece the 76ers of Jared McCain because the Sixers wanted to deduct the tax. And now, like, they just add another young, exciting 6'4"-ish guy who fits in with all of the things that they are looking for. you could make an argument that at the deadline, the Sixers probably improved almost as much as anybody. Presti is about as good as it gets. Now, as far as like, so I have a follow up here. Okay, what about a GM that is currently available? Oh, well, I mean, look, Bob Myers showed interest in working for the Lakers once upon a time. After Magic stepped aside, Masai Ujiri also showed interest in working for the Lakers back then. Either of those guys would be fine. Hell, both of them. Like, this is the thing that the Dodgers did. They hired a guy who was not on the market technically at that point. They hired Andrew Friedman away from the Tampa Bay Rays, but they hired Friedman and they hired Farhan Zaidi. And they hired Alex Anthopoulos, and there's always another dude who I always forget, and my apologies to that dude. But they basically filled out this, like, front office, like this Avengers front office. And that was the group of people who went out and hired Dave Roberts and filled out Dave Roberts' staff, built out the rest of the organization around the Dodgers, right? Meaning the minor leagues and the international leagues and their scouting departments and their player development departments and all that stuff. Like, all of those guys oversaw all of those efforts. Alex Anthopoulos eventually goes to the Braves. Farhan Zaidi wasn't very good, honestly, in with the Giants. He's now back with the Dodgers. So, like, to me, what if we're just going apples to apples here, you hire Sam Presti, you hire Masai Ujiri, you hire Bob Myers, you get all of those guys to work together. Eventually, they all succeed to the level where they all, you know, Bob Myers and Masai Ujiri go off and get jobs again. And you move on that way. Like, that's what I would do. And frankly, that's what the Dodgers did back when Mark Walter and Stan Kasten, you know, came to the understanding of, like, all right, if we're going to do this, we're going to fucking do this. So please, you know, fucking do this. Whew. Still going strong. Apologies to Miles's occupational therapist tomorrow. I am Ty Ty. All right. 1 hour and 32 minutes in, I am calling it a night. Thank you, everybody, for your questions, for your comments. Please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Thank you to Andy Kamenetsky for recording that conversation earlier today. I actually think it aged quite well. And then tomorrow, Harrison and I are going to be right back here in the lounge. So make sure you guys are subscribed. I believe that will go at noon Pacific. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. Have a great rest of your nights. Make somebody else's. I am getting some sleep. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, everyone.